So welcome to another short episode of the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Wisdom. And today we've got Diane Wingert. Now, Diane is a fantastic no-nonsense business mindset coach who helps female solopreneurs uncover and eliminate their unconscious beliefs that hold them back. And after her 20-year career as a licensed psychotherapist, Diane trained and certified as a coach to help shift that conversation from problems to possibilities. And she is an expert in this very interesting intersection of feminism, ADHD, and entrepreneurship, something that I talk about a lot on this podcast. So here is a short snippet of my conversation with Diane Wingert.
You are going to have a different relationship with rejection. And I think it's something that I think learning to do is extremely important. Now, we are female. We are socialized by female norms, which is to be nice, to put other people's needs first, not to be greedy, don't take too much, say, oh, no, you can have the last cookie and so forth. But as a solopreneur, you do need to be self-focused. Now, that's the term I use, not selfish, because that's what people who are critical of driven women will call us. But we need to be self-focused, and the resiliency comes from a couple of things. One, not everything you do is going to work out in the way you hope it will. In fact, the majority of things will not work out because we are creative, imaginative, and usually the way we think something's going to be, it's not going to be matched by reality. I think it's why so many of us are prone to depression, because what we envision and what we get, there's always a gap. So minding that gap is where the resiliency comes from. This is the result that I want to achieve. This is the outcome that I want to create. This is what I want to happen in this interaction with this other person, like a discovery call. I want it to result in a new client who adores me and I can help and we have a great experience. But they might think, I don't like the sound of her voice, or she swears too much. Or I actually had a person tell me one time, you will love this, Kate. The reason she decided not to work with me, I was too confident. I'm like, I got to admit, that's a first. And that's a very original reason for not working with someone. But I think the resiliency comes from knowing that your reality is probably not going to match what you envision in your head, and making peace with that, because that's part of being a creative person. That is part of being an entrepreneur. We are visionaries. We imagine we're going to create this wonderful sales page or this wonderful post or this wonderful podcast episode, and maybe it's crickets. Now, we could take our ball and go home. We could give up. We could quit. We could say, this isn't for me. Or we could say, that's interesting. I'm curious. Why didn't the result I envisioned happen? The more you go through that and you don't quit and you don't give up and you don't get sour and you don't pull the victim card and try to play with that, you automatically develop resiliency. Every time you take a risk, every time you face your fear, every time you have a rejection sensitive moment and you use tapping or go for a walk or whatever you do to calm your nervous system, shift your mindset, and keep on going, you are developing resiliency.
What you said, I just kept thinking in my head, was just the amount of pivots that I've done since I began my business. And honestly, I've gone round like 360 a million times because of those times where there were crickets and people didn't sign up and the clients didn't come and all those things. And I knew that I had to develop this sense of resiliency. And maybe it's been there, you know, I think we are used to picking ourselves up and dusting ourselves off. I think you're probably right, from a young age and those micro traumas that come in. And yeah, it's interesting to be able to look at it like that, of the rejection sensitivity as well, because we are naturally more sensitive to criticism and failure and rejection. But then we also have, on the flip side, I think we do develop quite a high resiliency. So it's interesting how they go backwards and forwards. And why
you have to fail. You want to be a resilient person. One of my favorite clients, Kate, refers to me as the speaker of uncomfortable truths. Mm. I love that so much. And that's why I refer to myself as being no BS. By American standards, I am extremely direct. and a lot of American men would say, frankly, obnoxious, right? And so I tried to like dim myself down. I tried to be more quiet. I tried to be less direct. It was exhausting and I actually got depressed. So I thought maybe I just need to find the people who are like, oh, thank you. Thank you. I think being direct is a gift. Not that I have the gift. I mean, I can't help it. This is how I am. I think it's a gift to the other person because you know one thing about having ADHD, we hate wasting time because our relationship with time is, well, let's just say it's very interesting, but I don't like having my time wasted and I don't like wasting other people's time. So when you're direct, it gives people the opportunity to see who you are, to know where you stand, and then they can decide very quickly, is this for me or I need to get out of here. I think that's a gift. Like, I'm not going to string you along. I'm not going to, but when you are direct, like, for example, some people say, you know, you'd have a much bigger audience if you didn't drop so many F-bombs. I don't care. Because the people who not only don't mind that I swear, they actually like it. Mm-hmm. Those are my people.
Yeah.
But you have to take the biggest risk of all as a solopreneur. And I know you will agree with me. The biggest risk of all is being who you actually are. Not pandering to your audience, not looking at, this is what people are looking for in the market. So I'm going to format myself into some version of that so that I can be successful. Honey, that ain't going to last. I mean, you might get out the door and you might even start to climb the ladder. You won't be able to sustain it because that's not who you are. So the biggest risk is being yourself. Will you get rejected? You better believe it. You better believe it, but it's all what you make that mean. Like when you make it mean, I shouldn't be a coach. I shouldn't be an entrepreneur. I should go get a job. I should shut up. I should stop being opinionated, stop whatever. You could think that. And you've seen plenty of our colleagues fizzle out. And next thing you know, they're on LinkedIn, available for work, looking for a job. And I'm like, what happened? Because they didn't develop the resiliency of not taking it personally when there were crickets. This is the difference between what you did and what someone who isn't resilient would do. When you said, I think what I'm offering is really good. I've seen your stuff. I subscribe to your newsletter. I've listened to your podcast. It's like, this is really good. If I'm not connecting with people who like it and want to work with me, then I need to change something about where I'm pointing the message or how I'm sharing the message. I don't stop. That's where the resiliency comes from. You have to have the struggle if you want to be resilient. There is no quick path. You cannot not fail and be resilient. The only way to be resilient is to fail again and again and again.
And I think what you're saying is that most of us have probably tried to conform and mask over our lives, especially as women, like the conforming is a big part of it. And it's almost like we've had this permission slip to just be like, you know what, this is what's been going on for you. It might be ADHD that's contributed to you feeling like this. And you've almost got like a direction of you can go that way and be your true self, or you can go backwards and just stay that person, like suppress yourself. Like you said, you know, if you try to dim your light, you try to stay quiet and you were depressed. There's nothing worse than not being your authentic self. And I think the more you lean into that authentic self, no matter what it looks like, people are going to buy from you. They are going to want to be part of your world because you'll magnetize the people who are meant to be there. And I know I've done it myself. I possibly at the beginning when I've been like, well, I should be like that coach and I should speak like that coach and I should provide this service. And inside my heart was like, no, no, no. My soul was dying because it's just not me. But I think you're right. I think as the resiliency builds up, we learn to step into our authentic selves a bit more. And maybe I wonder if it comes with age, wisdom, experience, all the knocks and the setbacks just add another layer of skin. I don't know. But all I know is that once you've developed the resiliency muscle, it spans out in all areas of your life, doesn't it?
I quite agree. And as a matter of fact, I do think for some of us, it gets better with age. I also know that once you go through menopause and your brain is no longer under the influence of estrogen, I call menopause the estrogen evacuation, because estrogen, I have a lot of thoughts about menopause. Menopause is actually when your body stops producing estrogen. Estrogen serves many important purposes, but the one I want to highlight, it is a psychoactive substance that is referred to as the tend and befriend hormone. Now, what that means is, as long as you are under the influence of estrogen from the time you start menstruating until menopause, you are biologically programmed to put other people's needs, wishes, wants, preferences, and priorities ahead of your own. If this were not programmed into us as human beings, we wouldn't have children, or we would eat our young like some animals do. And so we need to put the needs of others ahead of our own during all those childbearing years. But once your kids are grown and flown and you don't need that other focus, your body doesn't provide that for you anymore. I think a postmenopausal woman is a force to be reckoned with. Now, if you are in your 30s or 40s and you're thinking, no, don't say this, I don't want to wait 10 or 15 more years, I promise my clients, I choose my clients. They choose me, but I choose them. And I won't work with anyone that wants to work with me. I interview them and I select the people I want to work with, because I only want to do work that creates amazing outcomes. And if I don't think I can do that, we're not going to dance. But they have to be ready for direct information and so forth. And not everybody is. I promise my clients that I will shave decades off your learning curve. How to be an assertive woman, how to be a confident woman, how to be a successful entrepreneur, and how to live very well as a woman with ADHD. It doesn't have to take you until menopause and beyond. I am of many generations of women who nobody saw our ADHD because they weren't looking for it. And when they saw what they saw, they attributed it to other things. She's unmotivated. She's lazy. She's spacey. She's stupid. She's disinterested. She's, you know, weirdo. She's whatever. We've always been here, and our ADHD has always been here, but you don't find what you're not looking for. And by the time you understand this is who I am, you've accumulated decades of negative labels and negative self-appraisals. And that's a big part of what I do. I think of it as like emotional and mental exfoliation. We have to scrape off all those layers of all that conditioning where other people have told you who you are. You don't even know who you are after so many years of listening to that. And that's part of the resiliency too, is saying, you know what? I think it's high time, whether I'm in my 30s, my 40s, even your 20s, I am not going to let other people convince me who they think I am. It is my job to figure out who I actually am and what I want to do in this world. And I think a lot of us want to be entrepreneurs because I think it's a natural fit for the gifted or ADHD brain.
So I hope you enjoyed listening to this shorter episode of the ADHD Women's Wellbeing podcast. I've called it the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Wisdom because I believe there's so much wisdom in the guests that I have on and their insights. So sometimes we just need that little bit of a reminder, and I hope that has helped you today, and look forward to seeing you back on the brand new episode on Thursday. Have a good rest of your week.